Parkway, Northwest London, Sunday, Chov Zayin Sivan, 26th of June, Dan Yeshua Posen Shlita, Ezeo Machlokes She'ena L'Shem Shemaim. This week's shiurim have been sponsored by the family Le'ila Nishmas, Reb Zev Ben Reb Doiv, Dr. W. Littlestone, Zichron Levrocha, whose 10th Yortzeit is today.
Good morning. It's very special to be speaking during the week that sponsored Le'ila Nishmas. He was a very close friend of my grandfather, Rosh Hashanah Reuven Turner. I have to apologize for anyone who saw the title and assumed that we're going to begin the shiur by listing particular machlokesim around the world, in the literature world, in the chassidish world, here in town, that qualify for machlokes she'enu l'shem shamayim. First of all, I'm limited to half an hour. And second of all, that's not mamish the Eikar Matorah here today. Because your Dua, the Rabbi Aaron Steinman, in the week of Parshas Korach, used to spend the whole week very anxious, because historically we know that the parsha of each week has a hashpah on that week, and therefore, since Parshas Korach is mesuvah for machlekes in Klal Yisrael, he spent the whole week of Parshas Korach anxious of what particular machlekes may happen in that week. I don't know how these things work when Eretz Yisrael has already finished their week of Parshas Korach and we're holding now, beginning our week of Parshas Korach. Back upon him, anyone wants to ask why we're speaking already on a Sunday about the Nyonim of Parshas HaShavua, it's because when it comes to something like this, if we have our eyes open a little bit as we enter the week, then we may be able to sidestep some of the potential issues that we come across. Of course, the title was taken from the Mishnah in Perikei, Perikei Ovos, Mishnah Chof, depending how you split the Mishnayos, where the Mishnah tells us, Ko machlekes shi l'shem shamayim seifo l'iskayim. Any machlekes which is l'shem shamayim is destined to last. You have to see what that means. She'enu l'shem shamayim, enu seifo l'iskayim. A machlekes which is not l'shem shamayim is not destined to last. Zu machlekes. What would qualify as an example of machlekes which is l'shem shamayim? Says the Tana, zu machlekes Hillel b'Shamay. This is machlekes of the great Hillel and Shamay. U'she'inu l'shem shamayim zu machlekes Korach v'chol adosei. This is machlekes of Korach and his entire kehila that he put together to come and fight against Moshe and Aaron. A number of obvious ha'aras, which the Mepharshim all point out, is first of all you have Hillel and Shammai as opposed to Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Second of all, you don't have Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, you have Korach and Chol Adosei, we're only pointing at one side of the Machlekes. Shaul Salanter explains that when you're dealing with a Machlekes, where it's clearly driven by a specific agenda, the person's got a desire to have more covered, more prestige, a shtela, a position, a person feels they're not getting enough covered, a person's got kina, a person's got nakoma, a person's got an axe to grind. When it's clear and transparent, then it's much easier to know what you're dealing with, and therefore often it fizzles out eventually because people realize what's really going on here. And anyone who doesn't stand to immediately gain steps back. When a machlekes is dressed up in the guise of being driven l'shem shamayim, it's very difficult to break through and get clear what is really going on here. Is this actually a mochemes Hashem? Is this really actually something that's being driven for what we're being told it's being driven for? Or is there really an ulterior agenda that's going on and it's being disguised as something l'shem shamayim? If that's the case, then we have a problem, because on the one hand, we're told how serious machlekes is. We're told how machlekes is like Eish. Just like in Hilchos Nezikin, if a person lights a barbecue somewhere out in the country, and they don't put it out properly, and it ends up spreading and causing damage far beyond the area from where they lit. And in many areas in Hilchos, Hezek, we have concepts of Groma, we have concepts of who says it was going to happen, I didn't know it was going to happen, and it wasn't my fault, and it wasn't guaranteed, etc. And Hilchas Eish is almost a Yetzir and Aklal, where it doesn't matter if you realized or didn't realize, if you should have thought about the potential ramifications of your actions and your negligence in leaving this fire to burn, the Geder of Eish is something which is Darkei Lahazik. It's something where the derech is, it can potentially go and be picked up by Ruach Mutsuya and pass and spread and inflict damage beyond what you could have necessarily perceived at the beginning. And Chazal compare Machlekes to Eish. And I think if it's shayach to say a musug of what's called Ruach Mutsuya, what's called the wind that should have been predictable, as opposed to Ruach She'ena Mutsuya, winds which one couldn't have possibly predicted, that a strange gust came along and took it much further than one would have predicted. So if it comes to the comparison to Machlekes, nowadays when it comes to a person pausing for thought and analyzing what constitutes a Ruach Mutsuya when it comes to Machlekes, in the days of social media and instant messaging and travel around the world, and before you know it, it appears on a blog, and before you know it, it goes from a blog to who knows where. I don't know if there's anything which is shayach to be called Ruach She'ena Mutsuya anymore when it comes to Machlekes. The ability for a person to throw out a comment, a remark, an attack, to point a finger and blame and speak with almost as if they know with confidence what they're talking about. And before you know it, it's taken as a given and it's picked up by someone with an agenda and it's magnified and it spreads and everyone gets to comment and the whole thing goes completely out of control. So Ashal Kane, if we're living in a time where almost we're lighting matches near tissue boxes and the ability to go far and wide is very, very easy, very, very quick and completely and utterly uncontrollable the moment it's left our device, so then it's incredibly behovent on us to get clear from the beginning what is called a machlekes shi l'shem shamayim and what's not a machlekes shi l'shem shamayim. Because once we've fired that arrow, it's gone and the damage is endless. Yonason Eibeshitz, Yaris Tavash, says an incredibly powerful hagdorah, a very restrictive hagdorah of what is called machlekes l'shem shamayim and what's not. Says Rabbi Innocent, Hayitzahorim afateh v'oymer l'shem shamayim. Regular modus operandi of the Yitzahara is to tell us that every machlekes is l'shem shamayim. Ulamitzvah gedoyle l'achnia boidim l'shem azroya arima v'cheino dvorim rabim. Says Rabbi Innocent, kloloi shol dovo. Ein lecha machlokes she'ein yetzahara mefatehu va'omer shekol hakavona l'shem shamayim. There is no such thing as a machlokes where the yetzahara doesn't try to convince us that this machlokes is l'shem shamayim. V'chas v'sholem loyma machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim. No, don't listen to those people that tell you that it's not l'shem shamayim. It's l'shem shamayim. We mean it ernst. Says Rabbi Yonason, if that's the case, so how are we meant to know if a machlekes is l'shem shamayim or not? And he continues, if the people who are arguing with each other, who are part, the two sides of this machlekes, zulas hadavar shecholku boy, u'menagdim ze lazeh, if apart from the matter which they're arguing about, heim oyavim gemurim b'leiv v'nefesh, if apart from the matter which is under dispute, they love each other, they get on very well together, zehu ois shemachlekesom l'shem shamayim, that's a simon that their actual machlekes is l'shem shamayim. As human beings, as people, as Yidden, they get on fine. They have a difference of opinion on this particular point. But if they become enemies, if there becomes a hatred, a sinner between each other, says Rabbi Anderson, if that's the case, they become enemies. There becomes a hatred that develops between the two of them. Then that's a siman that the Yetzer has got his claws in here. And this is not the way it's being dressed up as a machlokes l'shem shemaim. Ki b'chol machlokes oim shi l'shem shemaim. Because you can't tell otherwise. Every machlokes is said it's l'shem shemaim. So Chazal tell us in others, what is a machlokes that's really l'shem shemaim? Amuk machlokes shamai v'hilel. She'oy avoy zezeh, v'chibdoy zezeh, hanehovim u'ni'imim. Hillel and Shammai loved each other. They respected each other. They wanted to hear what each other had to say before they formed a final opinion. That is the benchmark which the Tanna is telling us in others is the Machlekes Shi L'Shem Shammayim. Avol k'machlekes Korach v'Adosoi she'enochim eva v'sino u'kimat yiskuluhu l'moshe chodoyme. When you have a Machlekes like Korach where they were attacking him, they came up, strung him up. Zui shleil Hashem Shemaim, ki lemala ava ve'ish al achoisei, ze lois nema mechol machlikis lehevin imi Hashem Shemaim oylei. The Rebbe Anderson would add nowadays a little sniff. If you come across machlikis, where things are getting physical, then you know it's not Hashem Shemaim. And in Drush Hei, Chelik Beis, Drush Hei, he says a little bit further, a little bit firmer. Klolo Shel Dovo, Geter Godel Gidru Chochmenu. Chazal gave us a very clear guideline. What's called L'Shem Shemaim? Eizu Machlekes Shi L'Shem Shemaim, Zu Machlekes Hillel V'Shamai, the Tanna says. Says Rinnison, Ve'ein Chutz Mizeh Machlekes L'Shem Shemaim. Anything that's not Hillel V'Shamai is not Machlekes L'Shem Shemaim. If it's not mamish, Hillel v'Shamai, don't listen to Yitzhara. Don't listen to those people who want to tell you it's Hashem Shemaim. It's not. There's something else going on. Yodua, especially those who are learning Daf Yomi, came across it not that long ago. Gemara Nivamos, Daf Yodalad, tells us how Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, they made chasnas together. And the Gemara says, the extra chiddush in the fact they made chasnas together, says the Gemara is they've got machlekes in certain things that are relevant to who you're allowed to marry and who you're not allowed to marry. It's not just that they were the big bali machlekes together in different shittas, that how can you possibly marry into Beis Shammai, they have such a different outlook and perspective than us. Nishna them. In actual, who you're allowed, who qualifies for nisuin, they've got machlokes. And the Gemara says, how could they marry each other? And the Gemara says, you know what? It's okay. The Maidu Eluhu, Upirish, they notified each other. When the Shatan called up someone from Beis Hillel on behalf of someone Beis Shammai, or vice versa, they said, by the way, we just need to check. You know, this was before Dor Yeshorim. We need to check. Can you just let us know, does it... Are we in a situation which, according to Beis Hillel, you're not allowed to marry, or according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to marry? And if they said no, okay, fine, we trust you, we're okay. Says the Gemara, that Machlekes, on Tumah V'Tahara, and they borrowed each other's kelim. Says Gemara, how did they do it? How can I borrow a keli from them if I hold the Be'etzem, the Shita Som, what they hold is Tahar, I hold is Tomei, how can I use their keli? Says Gemara, Nochama, the same thing, because they asked them. They said, by the way, is this a problem? You know how we hold? Is this a problem how we hold? He said, no. He said, fine. We'll borrow your kelim. You can only do that if you have a level of trust, a level of respect for each other. If you don't trust the other party, if you feel that the other party, be'etzem, are goyim, shoyim, then you can't borrow the kelim. You can't make shidduchim with them. You can't trust them on yichus shaylus, which you know they hold are okay and you hold are not okay. Says Rabbi Anderson, the only machlekes, which is the Shem Shemaim, is Hillel v'Shammai. And in fact, when they say Kelim on the Mishnah, and Ma'ir this Nakuda, why does it say Hillel v'Shammai? Why doesn't it say Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? Say the Nisa Kelim, and we wouldn't say this ourselves otherwise. Because amongst Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, amongst the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai, there were also those who didn't mamish mean it Shem Shemaim. There were some who were fighting for the kovod of Hillel, some were fighting for the kovod of Shammai, not necessarily purely Hashem Shammai. So even that wasn't sufficient to make the benchmark of what the Tanna wants to tell us is the dogma of Machlekes Shi L'Shem Shamayim. Hillel and Shammai. Even lower we don't want to go. So if that's the case, Kimat, you're not going to come across the Machlekes, which is Mamash L'Shem Shamayim. So it would seem. And if that's the case, and as we mentioned before, the power of Machlekes in today's world to go far and wide and inflict damage is so much more than it ever was before. If the Chofetz Chaim was alive today, I don't know how he'd sleep. So Asher Al Kein, we have to train ourselves to pause, think, analyze. Heard Shurim here on Hilchas Lashon Hara, you're not meant to hear it in the first place. If you hear it, you're not allowed to believe it. But it's not just Hilchas Lashon Hara with all the Yisurim that involves. It's the damage. It's the damage which can't be repaired, which can get caused. We come across cases, we have Shidduchim that never happened because someone had the misfortune of asking information from someone that they didn't know, has an axe to grind with that mishpacha, has an axe to grind with that person, feels a bit ba'aveled, maybe feels that they're not friendly enough to them, maybe feels that the family, but something, somewhere, whether they realize it or don't realize it, and give out information in such a way, they can mamish ruin people's shidduchim, can ruin people's lives. You find people apply for jobs, and people ask information about them. Can mamish affect a whole mishpacha's panosu? And the person sometimes just says it, 2 seconds, you know, they give an opinion, no, I don't think this is good for you. I think you better avoid it. Have you thought about it? Have you analyzed it? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know it first hand? Do you know it second hand? Do you know it third hand? Do you not know it at all? Do you just not like the guy because he disturbed you once in shul? What really is going on? We have the advantage or disadvantage in Beis Din of getting to see a side of people that most people would prefer doesn't get seen. It's fair to say that sometimes you see people sitting far further in shul than they should really be sitting. And you see how people who be'etzem may well be good meaning people who by and large have good middos. And sometimes something gets hold of them and it poshut makes them act in a manner that if they would be watching a video of themselves they would be ashamed. You see people come into a Beis Din with their mishpacha, with their siblings, with their parents, with Yerusha Machlekesim based on kina, taiva, kovod, entitlement, old historic avlas that people feel they weren't quite treated the same as their siblings and this is payback time. You find mishpachos which are ripped apart. The doiris ripped apart. But for doiris, it could be now mishpachos don't speak to each other. Einichlech who don't go to visit grandmothers. Siblings who don't go to each other's chasnas. And over what? And sometimes you hear in Beis Din and you see the chush, how difficult it is for the people themselves to really analyze what the nekuda is with all the negias that they have. Because it's difficult even for someone without negias sometimes to peel back the layers, to deal with moving targets, moving goalposts. A person tells you, this is really the problem. And you analyze it, and you can't understand the problem, and all of a sudden they start moving what the problem really is. Okay, if that's not the problem, this is the problem. And you do a bit more in that problem. Okay, so this, you know what? I have a problem. Whatever, I don't know what the problem is. I have a problem. He's ba'aveled me. Many times we've had to Neitzera, where we adjourn. And we turn to each other to analyze, just to catch our breath and plan a route of action. What do we need to understand? What do we not need to understand? And sometimes you mamish see it's posh a person who feels baveled and wants an apology. You can't call someone to din Torah for an apology. So he, in his mind, has created a taina. And he said it to himself so many times, he now mamish believes it. He believes he's got ends to taina. He'll come to Bezin, he'll say his taina. The Dayanim will grapple with what the taina is because it doesn't make sense. Because itaka doesn't make sense. It's not real. He's created it. The other Baldin will say, this is what I've been dragged to Bezin for. The guy's Meshigana. So he'll start hacking back with his dais. And before you know it, it's escalated over what? Over nonsense. And sometimes if you have the Siyata Shmai to realize what it is, and if you have the opportunity to mazvit a second person, they can see maybe why what they've done has been perceived by the other party as an avla. Maybe they need to apologize. And sometimes it's faket. Sometimes you have cases of machlekesim which are blown. By the time people come to Bezin, often it's the tensions have risen, the lashonis between the parties have risen. They don't talk to each other. They don't talk to each other. It's people who talk to them, you know, by association. And they come to Bezin. The way it works in Bezin, at least in this country, is that when one person's speaking, the other person's not allowed to interrupt. Now, that sounds like a given. It isn't necessarily. But that's the way it works, which is basic derech eretz. Why do I mention that? Because we see a remarkable thing. Many times we see that when Reuven stands up and finally presents his case, and hopefully when a person comes to Bezin, they prepared their case to give over, or they have a Torah to help them give over in a clear and coherent manner. They present their case from Aleph to Tov. Shimon is forced to sit there quietly and listen. And many times this is actually the first time that Shimon has heard what's really bothering Reuven. From beginning to end. And then Shimon has his turn. And he responds with what he thinks really happened or didn't happen. And very often, to us as Dayanim, it's painfully clear. They're not arguing in Metzias. They're not arguing what really happened. They're arguing perception. This person's acted in a certain way. There are two ways to interpret his actions. You can choose. You can choose if you're going to interpret it in a way where you're don't have sechus, that be'etzem, maybe he was misguided, maybe he took the wrong decisions, but be'etzem, he meant it well. Or you can say, no, he's a rasha, he's a gunner. He's a selfish person, he's out to rip us off, and we have to defend ourselves. There's a famous vort from Chaim Shmulevitz, on this week's parasha, which is so relevant to this last nekuda. Gemara tells us, Eishes Oin ben Peles, Oin came home from the machlekes, he was fired up, he was excited, and his wife said to him, it doesn't make sense, why are you getting involved? Why are you getting involved? You're not going to be the one at Tzliach, it's either Kerach, it's Moshe, you're not going to get involved, be the top dog, you're going to get your hands burnt, don't get involved. Apologies to anyone who's heard this from me before here. So, he was makabel. Fine, she sorted them out, as we all know. Says the Gemara, Mikan on Roim Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa. From here you see a gewaldige Einfall, that the intuition of women is what builds a home. Says Rechaim Shulevitz Chushtenish, what was the greater Pichus, what was the incredible intuition that the wife of Oin ben Peles showed? She made a posh swara. There's a machalikas, they're fighting between them, someone's going to end up getting messed up. Why are you getting involved? That's rocket science, that's wow. Mikan on Roim, this is the Makar from the ganze Tznach. Chochmas Noshim Bon Sabesu. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, now we look at that story with hindsight, with the clarity of day, and we see Moshe Ba'aron, and we see Kerach Ba'adosei, and we know how the story ends. In a way, Sheshis Mei Bereshis had to be created to Pi Ha'oretz, to give Kerach his comeuppance. Okay, now you look at that story and it makes sense. It's poshut. Why get involved? But in the heat of the machlekes, in the heat of the fire, when everything's koching, when everyone's firing themselves up and lighting themselves up, and they all mean it Hashem Shamayim, that's when you need chachmas noshim ban sabesa. That's when, unfortunately, us men folk aren't so good at differentiating between the woods and the trees. That's when sometimes we convince ourselves, or we allow ourselves to get convinced, that this is mamish mechemes Hashem, we're doing it just Hashem Shamayim. And the women won't understand. You know, better not to discuss it with the women, because they'll start asking questions. And it's good, it's good. And we'll go back to the shtibel, we'll go back to the shul, and we'll wind this show, you know, refuel, recharge, you know, if in case overnight it goes down a bit. And we're fired up. Says Ruchaim, Chachmas Noshim Ban Sabesa, the Isha, when a person is zeicher to have a true Ezer Kenegdoi, you can challenge him and say, 1 minute, explain to me. I know I might not understand all the angles, but is what you're doing really L'Shem Shamayim? And should you really be involved, even if it's not Machlekes L'Shem Shamayim, should you be involved? Is this the right thing for you right now? How's it going to affect the house? How's it going to affect the children? How's it going to affect the home? Are you the type of person who's going to get so caught up in it that you're going to lose sight of where the lines are meant to be and what's acceptable behavior, what's not acceptable behavior? And contrast Chazal with Eishes Korach, who faked, wound up Korach. Explain to Korach exactly why he's not getting enough covered. Like we find similarly by Eishes Haman. When we have these machloikim come to Bezin, it's often apparent whether the men are zeicher to an ezer or a kenegdei. It's often apparent which wives have wound up their husbands to stand up for themselves, to fight against the shriga, to rip everything apart, not to be mevata. And faket, which wives have told their husband, it's not worth it. You know what, even if they're right, they're taka right. They're right. And you're right. They're wrong, and what they're doing is an avla, and it's outrageous, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it, but not by you. Not by you, we're not getting involved. We're going to be mavata, and if we're meant to have whatever we're meant to have, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will look after us. And it's clear and apparent who's zeicher to which part of this Maimon Chazal. As we enter into this week, Parashas Korach, as Rabbi Aaron Leib says, we have to be cautious. We have to see it coming. And it's not always obvious. It sneaks up on us. As Rabbi Yonason says, it comes to us in the guise of Mechemes Hashem, of L'Shem Shamayim. You know how a din Torah is going to go when you hear a person stand up and say, no, you don't understand, it's the principle. Once it's the principle, forget about it. We have to each be honest with ourselves. Why are we really doing what we're doing? What's really in it for us? What's really our agenda? And if we can't be honest with ourselves, we'll hopefully find the chochmas noshim to bonso beso shkeich.